You don't have to get agada yet. We're doing a special series tonight in preparation of Pesach. We're going to go through the preparations for Pesach, and we're going to have a model Seder. We're going to begin with an introduction, an overview of what happens at the Seder, and then we're going to make the things that are necessary for the Seder, other than matzah. We're not going to make matzah here tonight. And they're not selling horseradish in the stores yet, so we can't make chrein. But everything else, God willing, we're going to be making here tonight. So what else is there? We will discuss in a second.
The stove is on its way. We're going to make matzah.
Okay. Pesach. The Torah says, on the 15th, we have a special mitzvah to bring us... to tell our children about how we left Mitzrayim. On the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon, we have a special mitzvah to bring the special Pesach offering. And that night, the 15th, the night of Pesach, we eat the special Pesach offering together with the mitzvah of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvah of eating matzahs. Our rabbis instituted a few more mitzvahs. They instituted the mitzvah of drinking 4 cups of wine. And they instituted a mitzvah of reciting the Hallel. In the time that we had the temple and we had the Paschal offering, we had the Korban Pesach, the Torah says we're to eat the Korban Pesach together with matzah and maror. So we have a mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach, we have a mitzvah to eat matzah, and we have a mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach together with matzah and maror. Now that we no longer have the Korban Pesach, so we cannot perform the mitzvah of eating from the Korban Pesach, from the Paschal offering. We could perform the mitzvah of eating the matzah, because that's an independent mitzvah. But the mitzvah of eating maror, that's a mitzvah that is contingent on the Korban Pesach. We're supposed to eat the maror with the Korban Pesach. So our rabbis instituted a rabbinic mitzvah to eat the maror. So nowadays, when we don't have the Korban Pesach, we have a rabbinic mitzvah to eat the maror. So again, the mitzvahs biblically are the positive mitzvahs. The active mitzvahs are to bring a Korban Pesach and then to eat from the Korban Pesach that night, to eat matzah that night, and to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim that night, and to eat maror together with the Korban Pesach. Rabbinically, we have a mitzvah to drink 4 cups of wine, and we have a mitzvah to eat maror even nowadays when we don't have the Pesach offering, and we have a mitzvah to say over the challah. Yeah? Oh, we skipped one thing, the mitzvah of saying over the story of leaving Mitzrayim. That's a biblical mitzvah. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Torah describes telling over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It says, when your son will ask you on that day, what is this? What you're doing here? So you tell him, look, because of this, God did it for me. And our sages said, what does it mean, because of this, God did it for me? That we have a special mitzvah to tell the children, specifically at the time when we have the Pesach in front of us, we have the matzah here. So in front of the matzah, we say, because of this matzah, you see this matzah? Because of this, that's why Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. And then you tell them the whole story. So the Torah describes the recounting of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim as questions and answers. The Torah describes it as, when your son will ask, you will answer. And the Torah describes it as saying it over the matzah. Now, children get tired. So our sages said, when it comes to the night of Pesach, we have to rush. We have to try and begin as soon as we can. And because of that, we try to prepare as much as possible before the Seder. That's why I told anyone who's going to be a guest by us this Pesach, they have to come in the afternoon before the Seder to set everything up, because when we walk in the door that night after davening, we walk in and we begin the Seder. We have to rush so that the children don't fall asleep. So my children are too young to participate in the Seder. But still we have a mitzvah to rush so that people don't fall asleep, people are with it. We're supposed to start the Seder as soon as possible. So we have to prepare before the Seder in order for that to work. And that's why the first section of our class is going to focus on what's going to take place at night and the preparations that it entails. So let's take an overview of what's going to happen. We're going to drink 4 cups of wine, right? Our sages instituted 4 cups of wine as a commemoration that we're free men tonight, and free men drink a lot of wine. So we drink a lot of wine, we drink 4 cups.
That's good.
Three, they said specifically four cups of wine, because the four cups correspond to the four terms that God used regarding the salvation of the Jewish people. And our sages said, we don't want Jews just to drink wine, so they instituted with each cup of wine, they said it's adjacent to the performance of a mitzvah. The first cup of wine, we say with Kiddush. We make Kiddush and we drink the first cup of wine. The second cup of wine is the cup that we're honoring with the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we say the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and we drink it. The Haggadah, the Magid. The third cup of wine is going to be drunk after benching. We bench over that glass of wine. And the fourth cup of wine is the cup which we use for the Hallel. We have a special mitzvah, a rabbinic mitzvah, to praise God on this night. So we honor that praise with a glass of wine, which we drink, and that's the fourth cup of wine. So each glass was set up adjacent to a mitzvah. Now, when we drink wine, ordinarily we drink in Kiddush or benching. We honor benching with a glass of wine. So there are special halachos regarding that drinking. One of the halachos is the amount. How much do you have to drink of the wine? So we say you have to drink either a revius, which is a quarter of a hin. We'll define that better in a few minutes. Or a kezias. We know that when it comes to eating, we say that the Torah says you have to eat matzahs. How much matzah do you have to eat? You have to eat a kezias. A kezias literally means the volume of an olive. And in what time span? So we say you have to eat it in the time span that it would take you to eat half a loaf of bread. A specific loaf of bread. A loaf of bread that has the volume of 8 eggs or 6 eggs. So you're eating a half a loaf. You're eating the volume of 3 eggs or 4 eggs worth of bread. So that takes a person somewhere between 2 and 9 minutes. The opinions vary. There are opinions that say 2 minutes, 3 minutes. There are different opinions up to 9 minutes. How long can you take to eat your kezias? But what's the amount that you have to eat? You have to eat a kezias, an olive's worth. And the volume of an olive. Now, that should be pretty simple. You look at an average olive, and you see what the volume of an olive is. The problem is that the Torah gives us, our sages give us two measurements to figure out what the volume is. When our sages describe the size of a mikveh, how much water do you need to immerse yourself in to purify yourself? The water in a mikveh. So our sages describe, they give us the volume, and then they give us the measurements of a mikveh, the measurements by arm's length, by amos. And when we compare the two measurements, so then we see that our arm's length are twice as big as the volume of our eggs. And that brings us to a question. What happened? In our sages' time, the eggs were the same size. The volume of a certain number of eggs equaled the size that's described in Amos of a mikveh. And it doesn't anymore. So, are you with me on the question? The two measurements don't correspond. So
this means the minimum measure?
This is the minimum size of a mikveh. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the place where we see the correlation between the hand lengths and volume. We have a measurement. Take a box the size of so-and-so arm lengths, and that will house the volume of so many eggs. That's what the Gemara says. When we actually compute it, we take our eggs, we see that you need twice as many eggs to fill that size when you take those measurements. So that leads us to a question as to how we're supposed to understand the measurements. And that led our sages to a great dispute in the last 500 years. Some say that our eggs became smaller and our olives became smaller. Our arm's length remained the same, but everything else became smaller. Once upon a time, an olive was the size of an egg, because our eggs, we see, are half the size of their eggs. And that means that two of our eggs equals one of their eggs, right? We see that the volume of the eggs became half. Either that or were double their size. One or the other. So they said that it's the eggs that became smaller and the olives that became smaller. And when the Torah says you have to eat a kezias, so even though in Chazal's time they told us the volume of an olive is half the volume of an egg, but that was their eggs, which were twice the size of our eggs. So that means that when we say kezias, it comes out to approximately the volume of our eggs. Their zayis, their olives, were the volumes of our eggs. You guys with me?
Why would we eat two then of our size?
No. What?
Why would we double what we see as a zayis?
Oh, so that's what we do. So we say we don't know which is the right volume. When we have to eat a kezayis, we know that we have to eat a kezayis of matzah. We have to eat a kezayis of maror, so matzah is biblically ordained. Maror, in our time, is rabbinically ordained, right? The Torah says you have to eat maror with the paschal offering, with the korban pesach. We don't have the paschal offering, so we don't have a biblical mitzvah to eat maror. But our sages instituted to eat the bitter herbs, the maror, as a rabbinic decree for today, a rabbinic mitzvah. So the way we rule is that on biblical mitzvos, we use the larger measurement. We say the measurements became smaller, and you have to take the volume of an egg. I'm rounding off. It's not exactly half, but it's approximately the volume of an egg of matzah. That's the amount of matzah you have to eat in order to have eaten a kezayis, what was considered the volume of an olive in the Torah's time. And just a second, please. And when it comes to rabbinic mitzvos that our rabbis instituted, so then we go with the more lenient opinion, which says that the measurements didn't change, and there's a different way of understanding the discrepancy in the computations, and and we take the size of an olive. We take the volume of an olive, of a present-day olive, and don't go by the olives you buy in the jars that have been sitting in brine and they're much smaller, but you take the volume of a modern-day olive, which we'll give exact measurements for in a minute, and that's how much maror you have to eat, being that it's a rabbinic mitzvah, we go with the more lenient opinion. You guys with me until now? This is the general understanding of what has to do with measurements. Now, for practical applications, we'll do that in a second. What do you want to ask?
We eat more than that.
If you eat more than that, no problem. Eat as much as you want. This is the minimum. This isn't the maximum.
For people who don't like matzah,
okay, so now we're going to go to the measurements, the actual measurements, and I want you guys to get a picture of what the measurements are.
27 something, right?
What?
Because that is like 27 grams.
We're gonna do measurements right now. Okay, so I brought measuring cups. Just a second.
It's closer to the Passover?
Mm-hmm. No.
No?
It's not Passover.
What is it doing?
Oh, that's not a Yalos cup here.
We'll get to that.
Rob, grape juice or wine?
What?
The wine, if you can open it with a screw top, so the grape juice will.
What? Better the grape juice. We have more of them. So.
Yeah. I can get drunk in the grape juice.
It's okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
For measuring at the wine, you have to drink a red.
What?
Measurement? How much wine you have to drink is a red meat?
Correct. We're supposed to have 15 hard-boiled eggs, but
yeah.
I don't see them.
Right.
Where are they? Okay. Do you mind filling this with water, please? Thank you. You know what? We'll do it differently. Do you mind filling this with water? You know what? Sorry. Let's do this one. That one. Thank you.
No problem.
Why don't you explain it?
We are going to try to measure the volume of an egg. Now, there are different size eggs, right? There are at least four sizes that are sold in the store.
Oh.
These are relatively small eggs.
Mm. Wow.
These are small eggs.
It's much smaller.
And our measuring cup is not very accurate, but this egg, an egg like this, right, like physics experiment, an egg like this is, I'm on the wrong side, let's put it down, an egg like this is about 2 ounces, okay?
I don't know the measurement of ounces.
Ounces,
I don't know how to convert.
28 grams.
What, 28?
Grams. Oh. But that's weight.
Okay.
Not fluid ounces.
What,
I don't know if it's the same thing as fluid ounces.
Rabbi Feinstein, I guess, used a similar egg because he got just under 2 ounces
this
when he
Rabbi
measured
Feinstein
it. So, an egg is about 2 ounces, right? Now, we have to drink on Friday night, we have to drink biblically on Kiddush, we have to drink a Revius. A Revius, the Gemara tells us, is 1.5 eggs. But we said that the eggs have been diminished. So if we use the computations given, the larger computations, it comes out to 4.4 ounces, a Revius. So for biblical mitzvot, like Kiddush on Friday night, one should drink 4.4 ounces. Now I want you to see in a cup how much
this is about,
how much what 4.4 ounces looks like. Just a second.
It's a yayin, no?
Just a second. This is more than that.
Okay.
This is about 4.4 ounces. When you drink this much, you have to make a bracha achrona according to all opinions. If you drink this much at a regular pace, like 2 sips, you drink it down, you have to make a bracha achrona. For a bracha rishona, for a first blessing, for any amount that you drink, you have to make a blessing.
Yeah.
Bracha achrona is this much. This is a revis. Now, when we have the cups on the Seder night, this is the most stringent opinion. It's got to hold this much. Your cups. Most cups, 4.4 ounces. There are a little bit more stringent opinions, but this is enough. You could always find more stringent. Just 1 second. Children, we'll get to. 1 second, we'll get to children. Children don't need so much, no. Children, it's only chinuch. Notice a cup like this has much more than 4.4 ounces. Many cups, you see?
Yeah.
Most cups are 6 or 7 ounces. Now, it's good to have a cup that holds the exact amount. Why? Because there are different opinions how much of this wine you have to drink. Some opinions say you have to drink most of the revius, meaning more than half of this, which isn't that much. And other opinions say you should drink most of the cup you're holding. I mean, if you have a cup like this that holds about 8 ounces, you're going to have to drink more than 4 ounces. Now, if you had a cup that held only 4.4 or 5 ounces, then all you'd have to drink were 2.5 ounces. Because you have to drink the majority of the cup. You don't have to drink more than that. So if at the Seder time, if at the Seder you have a hard time with the wine, so we're going to discuss whether you could go for grape juice or not. That we'll get to later. But if you have a cup that's the exact measurement, I make sure to have a cup at the Seder that's the exact measurement, so that I don't have to drink that much. The wine otherwise makes me tipsy. I gotta last the whole Seder and it runs late. Now we're going to have to continue after Arvit. It's time to go down.